Namaste to you. It is me, Professor P, here, and the episode today is going to look at what we call the data of despair. And so it'll take us from our emerging adults, ages 19 to 29 years old, up into our middle adulthood, 40 years old to 59 years old, and then brings us to hopefully a solution as we reach our mature aged 65 and up. And we'll talk about blue zones, mental health, and of course, as always, 12-step fellowship will be incorporated. I want you to enjoy this episode. Peace and love. Here we go. I can see it burning, baby, like I do when St. Elmo's fire. See, when I think of that early adulthood years, that's what I imagine, right? I was a teenager, and it's going to be St. Elmo's fire. Demi Moore, Rob Lowe, and, you know, we're going to have our little bar that we get to hang out at. We're just going to be there. You know, the truth is, entering adulthood, psychological, biological, social, and legal conditions have now changed. And the context in which our specific behaviors, as we're becoming emerging adults, and those choices, critical as far as how positive or negative those choices can affect. There's legal consequences now. Watson and colleagues in 2022 wanted to look at the amount of young adults suffering from two or more chronic conditions. Now, this is before the pandemic. Their research is published in 2019. They found with two or more chronic conditions, young adults, emerging adults, so that would be 18, 19 years old into very early 30s, so 18, 19 to 29 years old. Watson found two or more chronic conditions, specifically eating disorder, obesity, 25.5% of our young emerging adults, and mental illness, depression, and let's throw anxiety in there, please, 21.3%, as being the most frequently reported. Now, when we look at eating disorders, obesity, anorexia, binge eating, and bulimia, ages 17 to 20 years old, female. Wrong. That's wrong. Males suffer too. However, there's this social ideal that, you know, it's only the young teenager female who's binge eating, anorexic, and suffering from bulimia. And that's not true. Men go through it also. Mental illness, depression, schizophrenia, substance use disorders, bipolar and personality disorders. The onset occurs around 25 to 35 years old. And that's from Psalmy 2022. So looking at eating disorders emerging into young adulthood, like anorexia, like bulimia, begin even earlier, 12, 13, 14 years old. I mean, I'm sure that if we had some subjective real life experience, you know, there may be some individuals that come on and say that they, and we go back to the ACEs, Felitti. That onset of an eating disorder can begin in early childhood. Psychological experts who study genetic links to mental illness, depression, like schizophrenia and bipolar, cannot deny that the early adulthood rite of passage, we know what this rite of passage is. It's like rite of passage, 18, I'm an adult. What about 16, rite of passage, drive. 21, rite of passage, probably to drink. Rite of passage, that initiation into legal consumption of alcohol. And now we have, you know, marijuana too. There's that freedom of choice that comes with emerging adulthood. My rite of passage to explore illicit substances. And this leads to inconsistent diagnoses across the board. Vincent and Hart, 92, Schechter and Wilhelm, 2009. These behavior and health disorders are chronic. They are progressive and life-altering without consistent treatment and continual maintenance. Trust for America's Health, TFAH, and Well-Being Trust Analysis of the National Center for Health Statistics, this is our CDC, had released data from 2007 and 2017. Again, this was reported before the pandemic in 2019. Increases in alcohol, drug, and suicide deaths have affected all age groups and all communities, but the impact on people in their 20s and early 30s has been especially pronounced. Alcohol death rates for young adults ages 18 to 34 went 69% during that 10-year study. And suicide deaths for the same age group in the same years went up 35%. That's page 3 from that report. And Chen and Jacobson in 2012 showed the apparent emergence of increased prescription medications, alcohol abuse, and now let's enter the picture, legal recreational marijuana, entering that young adulthood. And that's Institute of Medicine, National Research Council. And this is a rite of passage for young adults. It can become dangerous intersection of freedom, mental illness and alcohol abuse on top of these prescribed medications and substance use. Especially think of these percentages of young adults that are seeing now a doctor who chooses not to do holistic. Shout out there to the Hensleys. And now they're taking their medicine as prescribed, but hey, they're young adults. They're still going to go out and have a beer or two, or maybe a glass of wine at the end of the night. Dangerous. So delivering a universal intervention where we can target non-treatment-seeking young adults, ages 18 to 29, right, that emerging adult, young adulthood, find a universal intervention targeting non-treatment-seeking young adults to promote proactive factors and health-related messages is pretty inexpensive method, decreases the number of alcohol-related deaths and suicide. It can. A logical age has enabled rapid development of smartphone applications, keep track of our data. It knows our face. Shoot, I feel like it knows what I'm thinking. It's like, man, I want to shop today. Oh, that's what I want to buy. That's so funny. And it allows for easy upgrading too, technology does. After the program's been evaluated, nice easy upgrades with the apps. We see it, right? We'll update your app, update your smartphone. Of all smartphone users, 92% are used by younger adults, 18 to 29 years old. And with the availability of over 300,000 health-related apps, approximately half of all smartphone users download them. Application around prescription drug management and safe drinking practices may be more attractive for young adults. Colbert and his friends, 2020, found that alcohol prevention applications focused on decreasing consumption and inclusive, as so few studies have been published. Telecoach, a web-based skill training smartphone app, has shown positive effects on non-treatment-seeking university students been labeled excessive drinkers. That's Berman and colleagues, 2020. And now excessive drinking from Harvard or Yale, if we look, is binge drinking would be maybe 4 drinks in an hour twice a week, maybe even less than that. College and work districts around college campuses would be good settings for campaigns because it would target the population, emerging young adult population, and because the application may catch on with those not attending college. Another setting with access to thousands of young adults is the military, which has shown attitudes and behaviors toward drinking as its rite of passage. And also, how these proactive messages are delivered can influence the willingness of young adults to choose for their well-being and health. An intervention like this could aim to empower young adults and expand their knowledge about their choices and help them manage the intersection of young adulthood, which research shows comes with increased mental illness diagnosis, increased prescription medication, and that rite of passage, alcohol accessibility and consumption. Let's throw in marijuana. One way this can be done, though, is with the help of psychiatrists who, if they're prescribing medications to young adults and counselors, too, if they're not prescribing, if they're just seeing someone, a counselor, promote the application in their counseling sessions. Gives this clients a sense of accountability without feeling repressed, like in those teenage years. What happens, what we see, is those interventions, those young emerging adults that, well, let me move forward. So, during midlife, age 40 to 59 years, adults too face mental, physical, and spiritual health challenges. Physiological factors like menopause and andropause, impairments, physical aches and pains, and mental pressures increase with raising children and caring for parents. There's tragedy, there's grief, there's divorce, and the lifelong personal quest to solve the riddle of living for a purpose or purpose for living. And that's Lazar, 2020. That's also Erickson's, age 5, stage 6, middle adulthood. All of these realities play a role in why middle-aged adults face depression, abuse substances, and in the worst moments, commit suicide. And we can add familicide on there also, as well, in lieu of. Research usually finds geographical patterns or trends in such risk factors so that coalition interventions can be launched proficiently and effectively. For example, the percentage of women has always been nearly double that of men suffering from depression. And this is because male and female biological and social roles are naturally different. That's Albert, 2015. In the middle of America, race shows patterns in middle adulthood. White males are more likely to suffer from obesity, diabetes, and metabolic syndrome. Gurka, colleagues, 2018. Across all adult age cohorts, African Americans have higher rates of hypertension, diabetes, and stroke, which may be related to ethnic genetic predisposition and the prevalence of lower socioeconomic status. That's Thorpe et al., 2016, page 812. And that goes all the way back to the beginning of this country and the oppression and how we're still trying to catch up to the systemic racism. Considering depression, substance abuse, and suicide among all middle-aged adults and across all racial, ethnic, educational, and geographic groups, mortality rates will continue to increase and its subgroups in the next decade. This is Gaydosh and Friends, 2019. Page 774. Case and Deaton, 2015. Masters and colleagues, 2018. They have found longitudinal links between the opioid epidemic and the increase in midlife mortality rates, specific to underlying risk factors related to suicide, chronic liver disease, and other causes of death, i.e., drug overdose. These rising mortality rates for middle-aged adults, and we just came out of our emerging adult, so now these rising mortality rates for middle-aged adults, particularly deaths from mental illness-related depression, suicide, substance use, cirrhosis of the liver, drug overdose, are labeled deaths of despair. And that's from Inferna, 2021. Gaydosh concludes, our results show that despair indicators have indeed been rising among U.S. adults now entering midlife across the past decade, and that such increases are not concentrated among white, low-educated rural adults. By contrast, American young adults of all demographic groups exhibited increased despair over the past decade. Public health efforts to reduce despair targeted only to low-educated whites or in rural areas would be misdirected. Instead, efforts to reduce depression, suicidality, and substance use, eating disorders, should target the general population of the U.S. young adults. High suicide rates are represented by middle-aged men who have concurred and believed to be maybe a financial burden to society. That stress highlights this fear and humiliation that these men had just started their professional and family lives. Again, we look at Erickson, stage six, and Carl Jung. Carl Jung leaves Freud at age 40, right? Getting into middle adulthood. So it's like, I'm doing this. I have a purpose, or I don't have a purpose. That's Bachman, 2015. This is part of a trend coined deaths of despair, directly related to one's perception of finances, difficulties in work, family, home, and social activities. But mostly it's blended with what? Mental illness, substance use, and overall poor physical health. Rates of marriage ending because of severe mental health disorders, because of those erratic behaviors in one partner, like substance use, overspending, and overeating, increased rates of depression, suicide due to one partner's inability to handle the stressors and pain of divorce or grief. In 2014, the World Health Organization, and we know the World Health Organization, WHO, estimated that approximately 40 to 85%, who estimates something 40 to 85%? Let's just go 60. estimates that 60% of suicides were mental illness substance-influenced suicides. Hold up. Shouldn't it be 100%? I mean, unless it's like Dr. Kevorkian type of suicide. But if someone commits suicide, I mean, there's something going on, right? That's 100% mental illness. There's something going on that we don't want to live here on this earth. And I've been there. I mean, I think we've all been there, right? Where it's like, man, we can forget this beautiful gift of life. And I've been so privileged to be a white male living in America. Like, I've always had potable water. There's McDonald's at every mile up the street. There's gas. So I've never had, I mean, we got to be sad. Someone has to be sad. You know, focusing on interventions on middle adulthood risk factors like mental illness, depression, substance use, and suicide would seem appropriate as these patterns continue trending toward more dual-diagnosed mental illness, depression, especially with substance abuse disorder. And that's Inferna in 2020. I had a friend in seventh grade, Michelle Torres. We called her Zippo. And I mean, what, 13, I guess? We were 13, 12. And she committed suicide. And like, my class was a mess. Wonderful intervention, though. For like 2 weeks, our class was in the library. We were allowed to be off. We had like grief counselors. And so I applaud the school. Just horrific. And so I'm sure if you've known someone who's experienced suicide, then the resources are out there if you have mental health. We have smartphones. A lot of times it's hard to make that call or to go to that website. You know, especially leaving emerging adulthood into middle adulthood, right? I mean, we're supposed to be adults now. We're supposed to have it together. I want us to think about what I've talked about, right? The mental illness, substance use with the emerging adults and then our middle adulthood and moving up the lifespan into our mature aged. And that brings me the blue zones. So the World Health Organization and the United Nations have created the Gross National Happy Index, which I'm sure you've seen the numbers. It's always the Danish, Finland, Sweden, they're always happier. Minimalist, shout out to some of my students there. AMT with the minimalist. Shout out to Alex and Jose for... Anyway, look. So the Gross National Happy Index and Blue Zones with World Health Organization, they focus on Bittner. 2008, his blue zone concept, which are places or regions in the world where the communities are partaking in future sustainability intervention, which focuses on quality of life, this beautiful word here, vitality, physical, mental, emotional, and global well-being. And that's VAL 2023, page one. Now, currently, there are five blue zone locations in the world. Now, they're working on one in Minnesota, and I personally think Delaware, the beaches of Delaware, could be one. But there are five current blue zones. Now, you may find research that says there's a sixth one, there's a seventh. There are five. There's Okinawa, Japan; Sardinia, Italy; Nicoya Peninsula in Costa Rica, which Dr. Tom and some students got to go there; Garia, Greece; and Loma Linda, California. Now, blue zones have a common characteristic specific to those living in these areas. They have greater longevity with a high concentration of centenarians in addition to small clusters of individuals who have reached old age without disease and other health conditions, such as obesity, cancer, diabetes, heart problems. But most importantly, they're religious. All right, well, no, excuse me. Their communities focused on spirituality. Mortality rates are so low in blue zones that individuals live in their hundreds, and the length of life is increased by a decade longer compared to most cities worldwide. And that's from our World Health Organization. Adapting this blue zone vitality concept should be a universal method for middle-aged adults. And so what is it? It's a vitality compass, an overall mindfulness tool that Bittner in 2016 developed. It's called the Power 9, the right outlook, move naturally, eat wisely, and be long. And then it calculates biological age, overall life expectancy, health life expectancy, and the years they're gaining or losing because of their habits. It then gives the users 12 customized recommendations to help them live longer and better. This is a valuable tool for taking the initiative as a baseline test, trying out some specific lifestyle recommendations, and then making those changes and retaking the vitality tool 3-6 months later up until the end of this physical round. Of course, the recommendations would include what? Reducing salt intake, joining a faith-based community, that's spiritual, whatever, and quitting smoking. That's Bittner and Skemp. Adapting the Blue Zone Vitality concept should be universal. I just said that. It would be easy to replicate with high-tech capabilities, affordable as smartphone application or social media campaigns. Bittner in 2012, you know, these interventions, the ones in Loma Linda, California, they live 10 years longer than the average American. So a place in America where Americans are living 10 years longer. We got to get on that. They're doing something that the rest of America needs to do. Oh, well, it's too expensive. Oh, well, it's, we got to do that. We're worth it. In Sardinia, Italy, there are 10 times more 100-year-olds per capita than in America. Again, got to get on that. I mean, look, there's going to be some doctors and experts that say there's a genetic code. And there is. There is, especially Okinawa, Japan, right? Sure, genetics play a role. Once we implement it, that tertiary prevention will change the genetics. It takes time. It won't happen overnight. So start implementing some of these Blue Zone practices in early education so that when we're talking about our emerging young adults, it's not all mental illness and suicide and substance. And then when we get into our middle adulthood, we're not talking about the fear of not having a purpose. We're talking about change and health and positivity. And it can happen slowly but surely. Time takes time. But what does this mean, this practice of spirituality, this blue zone? Well, it means aging no longer has to be a dirty word, but rather an honor, a rebirth. You know, our lives, their lives are spiritually based on their daily routines. And so are our lives are based on our daily routines. Specifically in the blue zones, it's how they exercise and eat, how willing to attempt to moderate consumption. The concept of seeking and practicing religion, spirituality, and believing in a greater higher power is directly linked to positive human development, health, well-being, and quality of life throughout middle adulthood into mature age. Malone and Dadswell, 2018, page 4 and 5. Thai Buddhist, and I pray that he is still alive. I know he's getting older. Ajahn Sumedho in 2022 teaches, now this, he's saying to the layman, his monk, his nuns, now this, monks, is the first noble truth of suffering. Birth is suffering. Aging is suffering. Death is suffering. I will age, I will sicken, I will die. I will be separated from all of which that I am attached, all of which that I love, and here and now I am still trapped in this realm of karma. And that comes from the Bodhi, 2003. And some factuality can be found with this noble truth of suffering. First, every human will physically die, and there's no disputing this, as even Christ physically died. Aging is indeed inevitable, and this occurs with every second passing by, which is a second more of aging. Whether the child is aging to adult peak human development or mid-age adult aging to death, everyone ages. Does everyone suffer as they age? That's a question. I mean, we experience, and we talked last week about traumas and adversities. The implementation of Blue Zone decreases suffering and increases life expectancy. Can Americans have more access to tools like Vitality Tool and Blue Zones? Masson, 2001, loosely defines resilience as the process through which positive outcomes are achieved in adversity. And that's page 227. Becoming a mature adult means coming to terms with life, the past, the present, and the future, which is easier said than done. It's easier said than done, especially when positive, negative, or indifferent things occur. And it can be easy to get lost or stuck and even stagnant in Jacques' 1965 midlife crisis years, which directly relates to middle age, mental breakdown, stress, and depression, which leads to erratic, abnormal behaviors. Lachman colleagues, 2015. Kaisau colleagues, 2021. Enduring unexpected life outcomes in middle adulthood, like financial distress, divorce, grief, death of a loved one, and physical health ailments, can midlife blues leave many adults feeling depressed, angry, and crazy? When time and the regular, sometimes unfortunate pains of life occur, individuals can quickly start working in stagnation and should bring an umbrella to their late afternoon sunset. Alternatively, without proactive factors and preventive interventions, some adults may take a bottle of wine with some Xanax and a sizable order of French fry to this end-of-life initiation. There are two risk factors leading to midlife blues: substance abuse and hypertension, or high blood pressure and bad cholesterol. Genetic correlations aside, everyday life stressors, poor eating habits, lack of exercise, and substance use can be a recipe for depression, let alone an early death. Fryer in 2017 medical review concludes that the onset of hypertension, high blood pressure, and low cholesterol occurs in one-third of adults age 40 to 59 years, and is the most common chronic disorder for older, middle-aged adults. It's how we eat. We are what we eat. That's McGrath, 2019. Alcoholism and addiction do not discriminate, no matter how old or wise. Adults aged 35 to 65 are the highest percentage of substance users and abusers of alcohol, cocaine, and sedatives. Proactive factors can be implemented when dealing with midlife blues, substance abuse, and hypertension. Daily routines must be implemented to improve overall physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being. That's from Kaisau again. Public health programs are being implemented in middle adulthood to increase mortality and quality of adult older life. National coalitions like the healthguide.org promote healthy eating, supplemental vitamin intake, yoga, meditation, and advice on intimate relationships and sex. Siegel and Robertson. These daily activities also become part of those alcoholics and addicts who support. Evidence-based 12-step programs abstain from substance use and help the individual make a radical shift in their entire life. A social network accompanied by supportive non-drinking, drugging activities, tools for greater self-efficiency, rewarding social relationships, and practicing resiliency with the old-timer or sponsor to get through any difficult time in one's life. Thank you. That was Donovan, 2013. Overall, these interventions I've talked about require short-term daily goals for the individual to be successful. Successful implementation of these practices will not occur overnight, nor by osmosis. However, healthguide.org, Blue Zones, 12-step programs are creative writing and meditation techniques to get through cravings. Long-term outcomes can add years to one's life, especially if one stops using drugs and begins eating healthy and exercising regularly. However, essentially, aging is a non-negotiable human development. Remember, I said even Christ dies physically. 2. The long-term outcome is to be emotionally, physically, and spiritually ready for that late afternoon sunset of one's life. And so thank you, Carl Jung. And I want to thank all of you for namasteing today. But until next time, namago.